I'm going to read from the book of Romans, the 16th chapter, and I'll read from verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who laboured much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. And this evening, I'd just like to draw a few thoughts about Andronicus and Junia. Romans chapter 16 is a wonderful list of people who were converted to Jesus Christ and were a part of the early apostolic churches. We don't know much about them. Often this is the only time we hear their name mentioned. And verse 7, we're told about Andronicus and Junia. And I hope that in the limited time we have, God will encourage us in our own faith as we consider these two characters of whom we know very little. Junia is quite probably a woman's name. It may not be. Andronicus and Junia, they may be brother and sister. More likely, I think they were husband and wife. But again, that we can't say that with any degree of certainty. But the fact that they're mentioned together would suggest that they're in some kind of gospel partnership, if not a marital partnership as well. And straight away, if that is the case, we have a lovely picture of marriage, the two of them working together. Nevertheless, we are told that they are my countrymen and my fellow prisoners. Well, what does he mean by my countrymen? It could mean that they are Jews, like Paul. It could be that they come from Tarsus. They come from the same part of the empire. This little detail may suggest where they originally lived. I don't think this is really what he means, but there is a sense in which every Christian is of the same country as every other believer. When we think of where we're from or our nationality, we think of a place where we were born at, or often many years ago. But more important than where we've come from is where we're going. And Paul, again, Philippians, as you can imagine, is rather fresh in my mind at the moment. Paul talks about going home. Our citizenship is in heaven. We long to go and be with Christ, which is better by far. And the scriptures describe him as being a king in charge of a kingdom. A kingdom which is here on the earth now, but one day it will be visibly, obviously, on the earth. There will be no rival country there, but his country, his kingdom, his empire will cover the entire planet. And that is a country I belong to. And if you are in Christ, it is a country you belong to. Despite all of that, I think when Paul says, "Here, my countrymen," he's not saying, "I think they're going to go to heaven," because I think most of the people, or all the people in that list, were going to heaven. But rather, it's describing where they came from. But he also says, describes them as my fellow prisoners. I wouldn't read any kind of spiritual meaning into that, but rather I think he's making a factual statement. We were both, or the three of us, were imprisoned for the gospel. Some have suggested that they shared a cell. Others think, well, maybe they were in the cell next door. And they were kind of calling out to each other or tapping messages. I don't know. Prison in the first century in the Roman Empire was never generally used as a punishment, but rather as a way of holding somebody prior to a trial. And if found guilty, you were killed or exiled. And if not found guilty, you were released. We know that Paul was imprisoned on several occasions. Eventually, I think they probably killed him. Here, Andronicus and Junia, clearly for the sake of the gospel, I don't think it's because they were crooks or fraudsters, they were imprisoned for the gospel. So here we have a couple of people who are not only active in the service of the Lord together, but they have also paid a price for it. I wouldn't like to go to a prison in our country, but Roman prisons were particularly unpleasant. Nobody cleaned them. Nobody was required to provide you with food. You had to pay for it yourself. You probably lost your job, of course, because you're in prison. So you need other people to support you. Andronicus and Junior, we don't know the details, the Lord does, but they were evidently incarcerated for the sake of the gospel and were released. We're told that they were, or they are, Paul is writing in the present tense, are of note among the apostles. I remember Dr. Spensley at university using this to demonstrate why women should be allowed to become bishops. I don't think here, assuming that Junior is a lady, I think she probably is. I don't think that Paul is saying among the vast pool of people who are apostles in the early church, these two are particularly noteworthy. I think what he's saying is even the apostles have noticed how faithful and how helpful this couple has proved to be. Other commentators suggest that although there were effectively 12 apostles plus Paul, who was one abnormally born, there were others who fulfilled some kind of apostolic role. Apostle means one who has been sent out. For example, Epaphroditus of Sunday morning's fame was sent by the Philippian church to go and see Paul. He was not an apostle, and yet he was one who was sent out by the local church. However, what I think Paul means here is that Andronicus and Junior are well known among the apostles who were still alive at the writing of this chapter, including Paul himself, which is why he's able to comment upon them and commend them. I can't prove it from the text, but I get the impression that Andronicus and Junior, although they are well known among people in the very highest kind of circles of Christendom, we're not doing it for that reason. We are told by the Lord Jesus himself that when we do good deeds, we ought not to do it in order to be praised by men. We ought not to do things publicly that we can be praised publicly, for such ones receive their reward in full. I think Paul is simply passing comments here that Andronicus and Junior, his countrymen, those who had been imprisoned, are noted by the apostles for what they have been doing. In other words, they have a reputation. Now, in one respect, the only one whose opinion of our lives matters is God himself. And yet here is a couple who have a good reputation among leaders in the church who have the very highest standards. We know that there were some members of Christian churches in that century whose standards were rather low. I'm thinking of Corinth. I'm thinking of some of the churches which the epistles of John were addressing. But here, the real apostles who have high standards are noting Andronicus and Junior for what they do. Well, nobody in this room is noted by the apostles. I can tell you that now. There might be people who claim to be apostles who note you, although I doubt that. They tend to note themselves. But by the same token, that there is one greater than Paul, whose views are more important than Peter's, who does know what we get up to and how we deal, how we operate, how we serve or otherwise. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The apostles are up with the Lord now, worshipping God, awaiting the resurrection of the dead. But the Saviour whom they served, and for whom Andronicus and Junior served a period of imprisonment, he continues to watch his people, to look after his people indeed, but also to watch them, because we are going to give an account to him for what we do. He then adds a rather charming detail, who also were in Christ before me. in Christ is a very kind of Pauline expression for being a believer. Sometimes when we have communion, I point out that when we have the bread and we have the wine, we take it within ourselves. We ingest it. We internalize it. And the scripture talks about Christ in us, the hope of glory. In the third of Revelation, the Lord said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jesus comes to our churches. He comes into our lives. But by the same token, we are also found in him. Our identity is now as a Christian. It's more important than the country you come from. It's more important than the country you live in. Your identity in Jesus Christ. Are you in Christ? Well, what I think Paul means there is that they are in Christ. They're in the family of God. They're in this wonderful cosmic community of the redeemed. Starting, I hope, with Adam, but if not with Seth, until the very end of time. And they were in Christ before him. I think it means they were converted before he was. Now, when Paul is penning this letter, he's no spring chicken when it comes to godliness. He's been converted a while. These have been converted even longer. How does he know that they were in Christ before him? Perhaps he remembers them from the very earliest days of his faith. Saul of Tarsus, the new convert, the one that people were a little bit wary of because it could just be another ploy to beat us all up and take us to prison. Maybe Andronicus and Junia. Maybe they accepted him. Maybe they recognised that the Lord had really poured out his grace into this violent, obnoxious man's life. And the man who was breathing threats against the people of God spends the remainder of his life planting churches and building up churches and caring for churches, even firing off letters to them to check that they're okay because he has a desire for them, a love for them. Clearly, these are mature believers. Now, clearly, Paul, as an apostle, you don't get much more mature than that when it comes to Christian living and Christian doctrine. But evidently, these are people, they have been around. These are not fly-by-nights, here today and gone tomorrow. They turn up at the church and then you never see them again because they found somewhere better. These are people who will endure prison for Jesus Christ. These are people who endure church membership for Jesus Christ. These are people who, after all these years, they're still going and they're still serving. They're not yet retired and clearing off to a gilded prison, but they continue to serve. So what little we know of Andronicus and Junia, I rather like it. I think they were the pair of them. A wonderful encouragement both to Paul and to the churches of which they were part. They are now with the Lord. But one day, I think we'll meet them. And the gaps in our knowledge about them will have filled. Until then, what little we know, let us emulate. So, a good partnership here on earth. Prepared to suffer for the truth. They're recognised, perhaps not deliberately so, but they're recognised by those in authority. And they have matured. They've kept fighting the fight. They've kept running the race. They're not being distracted or put off or diverted. They keep on going. Would to God we were all like Andronicus and Junia. Amen.